As we gather here in the house of the Lord, let's come with a joyful heart and thanksgiving. We would like to welcome all of you, whether you're here in the sanctuary or however you're tuning in around the world. Thank you for joining us today in Central Study Hour. Let's sing our first hymn with title Nearer, Still Nearer, SDA hymnal number 301. Let's sing stanza 1, 2, and 4. Please join us. To send your hymn requests, your favorite hymn, by visiting our website at staccentral.org so we can sing together on the upcoming Sabbath. Let us know your name, the title of the hymn, where you're coming from, and your email address. We'll be happy to sing your hymn requests on the upcoming Sabbath. Our second hymn today, with title, Oh Worship the King, SDA hymnal number 83. Let's sing stanza 1, 2, and 4. Please join us.
Shield and defender, the end. vision of this, the vision in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose bed of his peace, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for being our friend, our defender, and our redeemer. Today, we come here to worship you and to listen to your words. Please be with us. Send your Holy Spirit to inspire us and guide us so we understand your will. Bless also Brett Stebbins, our brother, that will share your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our central study hour today will be presented by Brett Stebbins, lesson number 5, Passover. I hope you have a blessed study.
Good morning and welcome to Central Study Hour at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are so glad you are here today, and it's an honor for myself and an honor for all of us at Sac Central to be a part of your worship today. We are going to be going over our lesson, chapter number 5, or lesson number 5 in the book that we have in lesson Exodus. It is a fantastic lesson. I absolutely love reviewing and going over the book of Exodus. There's so much there. And today we are going to be going over lesson number 5. And the title of lesson number 5 is Passover. So lesson number 5, Passover. If you hear this or if you see this and you decide for yourself that you want a copy of this lesson, either on CD or DVD, you can reach out to us at Sac Central and we would love to send you a free CD or DVD of this so you can either have it for yourself or you can share it with somebody else. Call us up or you can email us. You can call us at 916-457-6511. Email us at csh@saccentral.org and make sure to give us the offer number. The offer number for today is C202531. Get a hold of us, give us your name, your address, your information, and we would love to send you a free copy, our CD or DVD of this lesson. So today, lesson number 5, straight out of the lesson, it is Passover. So let's go ahead and start off with the memory text. The memory text usually guides us to kind of what we're going to be talking about. So the memory text, I'll go ahead and read it straight out of the lesson. It is Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. And it says this: "And it shall be, when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" So, you know, the question would come up in the future: what do you mean by this service? What is this Passover service that you're referring to, or that we talk about, right? As families go on in generations. And that's what we're going to go over today. We're going to be answering that question. And what is the Passover? What was it meant for? What was the original purpose? And what does it have to do with our lives today? I think there's a lot to that we can take away from the lesson in the Passover on how that affects our lives today. So it is a celebration, or it was a celebration, that took place in the times of Moses, in the times of Exodus. That was a celebration. And that celebration has been going on since that time, since that day where they started the first Passover, all the way till today. There are plenty of people still celebrating Passover in the world today that has not stopped. And right, and today we're going over this as well. Another special celebration that has happened since the beginning of time, and even longer than the celebration of Passover, is the Sabbath. And that's what we're here today as well, and we're studying this. So now in this lesson, the setting of the Passover is this, right? 9 plagues have taken place. Right? They've gone through all of the nation. They have affected God's people. They have affected the Egyptians. They have affected the whole nation and this, all of the people that are in there. The 9 plagues have happened, and the 10th is on its way. It is about to fall. And the warning has been given. The warning is given to Pharaoh beforehand and to the people of the Egypt, in Egypt. It has also been given to God's people. And a final decision is going to be made on whether the 10th plague is going to fall or not. Right? Because these plagues falling have all been the decision. They have all fallen because a man made a decision that he was not going to follow God, was not going to listen, and that this was going to happen. So this is a decision that Pharaoh is making, whether the 10th plague comes or not. It didn't have to come, but we all know the story that it does. Pharaoh now no longer finds himself in front of kind of an inconvenience, a severe inconvenience, right? Because all of the other plagues have really what they've been are severe inconveniences, right? Nobody was really dying of the plagues, of the flies, of the frogs. They were just really inconvenient. They made life miserable. And still, the Pharaoh's heart was not hardened. Or his heart was hardened, and he did not let the people go. But this time, Pharaoh doesn't find himself up against another inconvenience, right? The Pharaoh now finds himself and his people against the possible death of many of his people, including his own son. So this is a little bit different of a plague that is going to happen, right? It's not just one of the other inconveniences that happen. And Pharaoh is going to be ultimately responsible for all of those lives. And his people, if they were to have the decision, I'm pretty sure they probably would have thrown in the towel and would have let God's people go by now, but the Pharaoh was different. So him and his officials are going to determine the fate of these people. And it is basically the Pharaoh's attitude against God that is leading all of these decisions. In the lesson on the first day, on the Sabbath day, inside it asks us, how do you feel and what would you do when the gravity of a situation falls heavy on us? And I think we've all had that, where the gravity of decisions are going to fall on us, right? We have to sometimes in our lives make decisions based on circumstances and tough decisions. There's a lot of us that we come against really tough decisions. What do we do for a family, for a business, for a church, right? So what do we do and how do we feel? The lesson is kind of having us think about, how do we feel when those heavy decisions are laid upon us? Sometimes it's liberating, those decisions, because we get to make a decision, and we get to make a decision to be free from whatever we're fleeing from. But sometimes we have situations in our lives where we have to make decisions that we don't want to make those decisions, right? Sometimes we want other people to make those decisions for us. It's like, I don't know what to do. I'm so heavy and burdened right now in my life that I don't know what decision to make. So in our lives, when we have to make those decisions, it's hard. And especially when other people depend on our situation and on how we answer and how we go forward. If I want to make a decision on my family, I mean, it doesn't affect just me, right? It affects my wife, my kids, my mom, brothers, sisters, church family, right? If I were to make a decision to move today, and it would affect a lot of people depending on where I moved, right? If I was going to leave the state, it wouldn't be just a decision on me. That decision has been on me, you know, sometimes to make calls. So, right. So we have to think about, you know, how is it when we have to make that decision? God is always willing and wanting to grant us wisdom and understanding to make the right decision, to do the right thing. He's always willing to grant us that understanding and the wisdom. The thing is, sometimes we don't want to do the right thing. Sometimes we make the wrong choices in life, and then other people are affected. Sometimes we refuse to do it. The last sentence in our lesson, you'll find it right at the very bottom. It says this: in the account of Exodus, one man's refusal to submit to God, even in the face of overwhelming evidence, brought tragedy upon many others besides himself, which is often how it works anyway. Right? So his decision, the Pharaoh's decision, was going to affect many. Right? And aren't we kind of all here today because a man, or you could say an angel, made a decision to not submit to God, to refuse God? That's kind of why we're all here today. But now the people of Egypt find themselves now in a situation where they're relying on one man, and they're all going to have to suffer because of one man's refusal to submit to God. So that was kind of our introduction over the Passover. If you have your lessons with you, go ahead and turn on to Sunday. And the title of Sunday is One More Plague, right? With the Passover and where we are today in the lesson, we're only talking about that one last plague that is going to happen. Excuse me. So I want to read that first paragraph for you right out of your lesson. So if you have it, please follow along. It says here, the prophet Amos declared that the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And through the prophet Moses, he revealed to Pharaoh what was coming next. The most solemn warning was given to Pharaoh: this will be a just judgment upon pride, exploitation, violence, and idolatry, all of which have triggered these calamities upon Egypt. Right? So God is going to take the time to reveal first to Pharaoh and with his people as well what is going to happen beforehand. He's going to reveal what that plague is going to be and how it is going to look if he does not obey, if he does not give in to the wishes, right, to let God's people go. And this is still common practice today with all of us, right? All of you who are parents have done this. All of you who have friends have done this. When you find yourself up against somebody who is not listening, is going to make a wrong decision, we usually kind of lay out the consequences. At least I usually do. I don't just punish my kids out of nowhere and just say, well, that's that. You kind of warn them, okay? If you do this, then these are the consequences, right? I was in management for many years. So I sit down with an employee. If you continue, if you do this, these are the consequences. The police do a pretty good job of that as well. They kind of warn you. Sometimes you get a warning, sometimes you don't, but we all know the rules. So right now, God is giving Pharaoh a warning. here's what's going to happen. Here's what I'm asking you. If you don't do it, here are the consequences. It's up to you if you want to heed the warning or not. But I'm going to give you a good description of what's going to happen first. God's fair. He's just. So we wouldn't expect anything else, right? So the lesson has us take a look at this warning. That warning you will find in Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. We're not going to go over reading all of them, but let's read a couple of the highlights in that section. So the Pharaoh has been made known that there is going to be one more plague, and that really God is kind of saying with this, I'm not messing around anymore, right? As we talked about in the beginning, these aren't just inconveniences. Now people are going to lose their lives. So in Exodus chapter 11, I'll go ahead and read verses 4 through 7. So Exodus 11, starting with verse 4, then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Verse 6, then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So God right here is very specific on what is going to happen. He talks to the Pharaoh. He says, your son, Pharaoh, who sits on the throne with you will die. Everybody in Egypt, all the firstborns, even of the lowest of the lows, that woman, her son, her firstborn son will die. Very specific. And he is saying that this is actually open for God's people as well, not just the Egyptians, everybody who is living in this great nation, whether you're on the Egyptian side or on your God's people side, there is going to be no difference in the judgment, but there is going to be a difference, and you're going to see. Right? So Moses is declaring this, but he's not doing it by himself. He's doing it on the behalf of God, right? He states in the beginning, thus says the Lord. So Moses wants to be able to make sure and to clarify, hey, Pharaoh, again, not my words, God's words, right? And this is what's going to happen. So that's just another snippet into the warning. Another part of the warning we find in Exodus 11, verses 9 through 10. It says, but the Lord says to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Right? We see there, the warning was given. Everything that God said, Moses and Aaron took to Pharaoh with the officials. They were made known everything. It was very clear, crystal clear. And they were to make a decision. Whether it was enough to be able to say, okay, you know what? We've seen what you've done before. We don't want to mess with it. We'll go ahead and let your people go. We all know the decision that was made. But God, he usually gives us time to think about things and to go over things, right? He goes over and he has all of these plagues. And then the plague right before this last final 10th plague, where life and death were now in the balance, he gives them 3 days of darkness to think about this. 3 days when it's completely dark and you can't see a thing, they had time to really think about everything. They had time to just kind of reflect on everything that was going on. Have you ever been in the darkness for 3 days? Anybody? I haven't been in complete darkness where I can't see anything, but I'm going to kind of consider solitary confinement is, and I was put in that for almost 3 days. It wasn't 3 full days. And that was enough for me to sit and just to think. I don't think any of us do that these days, right? Do we just sit and think? So for 3 days before this last plague was going to happen, God says, all right, I want to give you time to really think about this. You've seen the blood, you've seen the flies, you've seen the locusts, you've seen all of this. Can you maybe think that everything that I've said is going to happen is really going to happen? But the Pharaoh doesn't really have effect. He's just like, yeah, okay, it's still not happening. In verse 8, we didn't read it, but in verse 8, it says that Moses left very angry. Why would he leave the presence of Pharaoh very angry? He knew that all of these wonderful people would have to suffer because of the decision of a leader. Moses knew that God was going to complete what he said he was going to do. He said, this is what I'm going to do. It's very clear. I'm going to do it. So Moses left angry because he knew that the Pharaoh was making a very bad decision. Have you ever left in anger after talking with somebody? I know I have. I've pleaded with friends and family who are still addicted to drugs, who are still drinking, who are still on that path. I've pleaded with them. I've prayed with them. I've talked to them. And I've left in anger before because I know what's still coming. I know what's going to happen with them. I've pleaded with a friend of mine to stop, to get away from drug abuse. And then I've gone to his funeral a year later. And I left in anger because I know that if he doesn't leave that, he was going to perish. So Moses left in anger because he knew all the suffering that was going to go on. So the 10th plague comes. And 10 in biblical symbolism means fulfillness or completeness, right? We see that, just one example, the 10 commandments, very complete. Our laws with God and with man all together and complete. So we have the 10 commandments, we have the 10 plagues, and this is finally the completing of God's work and his pleading with Egypt to bring his people home. So now he's going to bring his people home. So on Sunday, it says this, kind of the second to the last paragraph. It said, God is the judge, and he is against pride, injustice, discrimination, arrogance, exploitation, cruelty, and selfishness. He is on the side of the sufferers, the abused, the mistreated, and the persecuted. God will execute justice, which truly is another expression of his love. And I love that right there. We find those mixed together out of the Psalms. But I like that God is on the side of the sufferers. Anybody else here, you're one of the sufferers, right? One of the abused, one of the persecuted, one of the mistreated. I'm glad he's on that side, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and move on into Monday. Monday, the title of Monday is Healing the Body. And it has us read Exodus 12, verses 1 through 20. And these are the Passover instructions. We're not going to read all of them, but I do want to highlight several of them. So I'm going to go ahead and read Exodus 12, verses 3 through 8. And it says this, starting with verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, who shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or of the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it onto the two doorposts in the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So here's the instructions. Very clear, very simple. Find a lamb, kill a lamb, eat a lamb, put the food or put the blood on the door. Very simple instructions. Gives you the instructions on what type of a lamb. And these are very simple instructions. Yes, they're messy and they're bloody instructions, but they're still instructions from God on what is going to take place. And then in verse 11, we have a little bit more detail that comes out. It says, Exodus 12, verse 11, and thus you shall eat it, with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I love this, right? This meal should be eaten standing up and ready to go, as a symbol of the people being ready to go, being ready to finally leave the slavery that they have found themselves in, right? Eating it standing up, ready to go. A lot of us probably at times eat meals standing up because we're on the go. This is the same. God's saying, stand up. Eat this one standing up. You guys are basically on your way. This is going to happen. Verses 12 and 13 say this, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. I will see the blood. I will pass over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this is really important here. It says the blood is going to be a sign. The blood on the outside of the door is going to be a sign. And then God will pass over. Right? He will not execute judgment over you. It will pass over. And this Passover is good. Not like the Passover when you would have when you played Duck, Duck, Goose. Everybody remember Duck, Duck, Goose when you were a kid? Everybody lines up and you want to be the one that gets touched and not passed over. And then you got to run around. I think all of us have played Duck, Duck, Goose, right? We don't want to be passed over. But in this case, we do want to be passed over, right? Because we don't want the firstborn to die. So God will see the blood will be a sign, and he will pass over and not execute the judgment of the 10th plague upon that family. Verse 14 says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So what they were going to do was going to save them. It was going to liberate them from the death that was going to happen on the 10th plague. And this actions that they were going to take was going to be the thing that finally released them from slavery. So the Passover was to be celebrated every year afterwards. We see that ordinance that was put into place. The God's people and the Jews were to completely go through this Passover meal with all these instructions every year. And there's people that are still doing it, right? But there was a guy named Jesus Christ who came with the ultimate sacrifice that we celebrate that now. The ultimate, right, liberation of our sins are only through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, the very last paragraph that is in your lesson says something really interesting, and I really like what it says. I want to share that with you. It says, the celebration of the Passover was to remind every Israelite of the mighty and gracious acts of God on the behalf of his people. This celebration helped to secure their national identity and seal their religious convictions. Interesting, right? That was to be a sign for them. It was to be an institution of what their national identity was going to be. So at the bottom of the lesson, there's a question here, and I want to read that with you. It says, why is it so important to remember the good that God has done for you in the past, and to trust that he will do good for you in the future as well? Why is it important for us to remember what God has done in the past? Because he's going to do it again, right? He's going to do it again for you. If he has taken you through a hard time before, he's most likely going to do it again, because he loves us. He cares for us. Sometimes he needs to kind of help us direct our paths. But he does. And if he's done it for you before, he'll do it again. Let's go ahead and move on into Tuesday. We've got a lot to cover still. So Tuesday, the title is Pesach or Pesach, right? And that basically just means Passover. So for Tuesday's lesson at the top, I'll go ahead and read the question they give us. It says to read Exodus 12, verses 17 through 23, and then it asks us, what role does the blood play in the celebration of this new festival? So let's go ahead and read that. So Exodus 12, verses 17 through 23, and let's continue to think about, okay, what role does the blood play? It says here, starting with verse 17, so you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at the evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your house, since whatever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Therefore, or whether he is a stranger or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leavened in all the dwellings. You shall eat, in that all your dwellings, you shall eat unleavened bread. And then verse 21 says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, Dip it into the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. So what role does the blood play in this? Well, the role is the symbol of the sacrifice, right? The sacrifice that is being done. And secondly, the blood plays a role in demonstrating one's faith in God, right? Demonstration. This is an outward demonstration of the faith in the message that God has given us in following what he says. And it's interesting that, you know, the lamb that is picked out to be a part of this feast and a part of this Passover is very specific that it can't be without blemish, right? It's got to be a certain age, a certain size. It's got to not have any blemishes, right? God's not saying go and pick out the worst lamb and eat that. No, you pick out the best, and that animal, excuse me, is going to be the one that is going to represent and be a part of the sacrifice, right? So the blood of the lamb is a blood of the protection, is an example of the protection that God is going to give over his people. In Exodus 12, 13, it says this about the blood. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. There's a third paragraph in the lesson. It's very short. I'll go ahead and read that. It says the whole gospel was associated with the celebration of the Passover because it pointed not only to freedom from slavery and going to the promised land, but to Jesus Christ's sacrifice for our sins and his merits applied to all who are covered by his blood. The Passover is representing, right, our sins that are being passed over. But our sins, right, in the last days when we accept Jesus as our Savior and when God makes a final judgment on his people, he is still going to look for that blood as a symbol. He still wants to see that on the doorposts to our hearts, we have the blood of Jesus. Right. There's a verse from 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 that is directly out of your lesson. I want to go ahead and read that. It says, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So we were talking about what role does the blood play, and that's pretty self-explanatory, right? For all of us who we've kind of studied a little bit, it represents a sacrifice. It represents, right, the Passover. And but what about the unleavened bread? What does that symbolize? Well, if we look in the Bible and we find that the leaven, right, the yeast, represents sin. Is an example of sin. So basically what they are saying is that because the yeast kind of represents sin, that for 7 days the people of God are to eat unleavened bread, representing that they should be clean from sin. Because you know what yeast does to bread, right? Puffs it up, makes it nice and fluffy. And that's what sin does to our lives as well. It puffs us up, right? Makes us feel proud, makes us want to feel good and look good. Well, we don't need any of that. We don't need to look good. We just need to look good in God's eyes. We don't need to be all puffed up. We need to be without sin. So at the same time when they are instrumenting and they're going forward with the Passover, they're saying, okay, for 7 days, only have unleavened bread. Well, there's also a time that's going to come for our lives when we need to be living without sin. Right? When Christ comes back, we need to be living without sin. We need to finally get away from the sin that is in our lives. And I know it's difficult. It's very difficult. It's hard for me to even eat unleavened bread for 7 days, let alone live my life without sin. But we can do it. We can. I could use a little bit less bread. I could use a little bit more of the blood of Christ, right, in our lives. But it's hard. But there will be a time, that, right, when before Christ comes back, we're going to be able to live without sin. And so this is all of this, right, are examples for us, right, of how the Passover should be, how it is going to be in our times as well. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to be able to do it. Okay, let's go ahead and move on into Wednesday. And this is a really important one because we're learning about the Passover. We're learning about how significant it was with the Israelites, how significant it's going to be in our lives today. So the Wednesday, the title of Wednesday is Passing the Torch, right? And there's a great psalm that is right starting off in on Wednesday's lesson in the first paragraph. It says in Psalm 145:4, it says, "One generation shall command your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Right? So what we're talking about here is we're talking about passing on the torch. And it's very important for us to pass on the torch to the rest of our family, to the next generation, right? This is how the Passover was stepped down to different families. It was one sharing the experience with another. It's, you know, the saying that we have is passing the baton on to the next. And have you ever, I always like to watch the Olympics when they're on. Sometimes when you pass the baton, you know, you're running, the other person's running, and you have to pass that baton over to somebody else. Sometimes it works out great, meet right up, baton goes in the hand of the next person, and they get to run off. Sometimes the other runner is kind of fumbling. Where's the baton? I can hear you, you're right behind me. And they kind of struggle with the interchange. Sometimes as well, the baton is dropped, right? And what do you have to do when you're racing a race and the baton is dropped? You got to stop everything and get that baton and then continue to run. So, you know, when we're talking about here on Wednesday, passing the torch, Let's have an easy exchange off to our children. Let's have an easy exchange off to the next generation. Let's not fumble the word of God and sharing everything. Let's not drop the ball so that our future generation has to come back and stop everything, come back and pick it up. We want to go, right? We want to pass that torch. And it's very important and it's biblical. So right here, what it's saying is that it is biblical that God is instructing to pass all of this information on to the next generation. In Exodus 12, verses 24 through 28, it says this, "You shall observe these things as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord gives you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads and worshiped, and the children of Israel went away and did so just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did." So they kept this service, And they're supposed to keep this Passover service alive for the future generations. It's not just a generation that is going to flee Egypt and go into the promised land. They are to then share this with their children. And there is another, on the second paragraph below the question on Wednesday, it says this. It says, the father would say, I was in Egypt. I saw the defeat of the Egyptian god and plagues on Egypt. I was set free. In the book of Exodus, it twice underlined how parents should answer their children's question regarding the Passover. Right? How do we answer that question? What was that? And basically, what it all comes down to is we are supposed to share and pass on this information from generation to generation as if it was our experience. That's what they were supposed to do with the Passover. They were supposed to say that I came out of Egypt, right? Even though they may not have physically done that or been there, that's how you're supposed to share the word of God and the experiences. And that's how we are all supposed to share the word of God through our experiences, what we have done. We are supposed to open up the Bible and share the Passover and share the Moses experience and share how they left out of Egypt as if it was ours. Because it was ours. We didn't go through it, but we as God's people did. It is our experience, and that is how we're supposed to continue to share. We're supposed to also not only share the scripture, to share God's ordinances and his commandments. We're supposed to share his experiences in our lives, what he's done. Right? All the beautiful things that the Lord has done for you, don't ever hold those in for yourself. Those are for everybody else. Those were for you and to help you, but those are so much for other people as well. Because when we share our experiences, we not only help others, but that helps us. It helps us remember what we've been through. Right? It talks about, or it's interesting that we talked about this earlier, that God's people were basically celebrating before they were even set free, right? They're celebrating. They're going over this. God's telling them, eat this meal, ready to go, standing up. This is done. This is a done deal. You guys follow these instructions, and you're basically free now. So they're celebrating this as if that was already happened. Now, if it was 100% a sure thing. And that's what we need to do in our lives as well, right? God's already told us how it's going to end. God already has given us instructions on what we need to do. It's a done deal if we follow the Lord. So what are we waiting about? What are we worried about? It's done. It's in the books, right? It's a wonderful thing. There's a couple of other texts I wanted to share, but we're coming up against the time, and I do want to get into Thursday as well. So turn over, if you have your lessons with you and you're following along, turn over into Thursday's lesson. The title is The Divine Judgment, because this isn't just any ordinary judgment. This is a divine judgment. So we see how the last plague is played out here. So Exodus 12 verses 29 through 30. I'll go ahead and read that for us here. It says, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captain who was captives who was in the judgment or the dungeon, sorry. And all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in the land of Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. God did what he said he was going to do. And that's always the case. God always does what he says he's going to do. Yeah, it's simple. And Pharaoh should have known this by now. One time, two times, three times, now finally after the 10th time. But wouldn't it have been great if they would have been able to do it without all the deaths? Right? It would have been nice. But now, we see how that played out, right? It hit home for Pharaoh. It really did. His son now is dead. His nephews, dead. His people are crying out all over. And he doesn't look very good right now, does he? As a king, as a leader, as a god, right? The people looked at him. We learned this in the other lessons. The people looked at him as a god. He was basically a god. His son was going to be a god, right? We have the god of Isis, which is the goddess of protecting children. Well, that god didn't do a very good job. Heket was the god of attending to women at childbirth, right? That wasn't going on, right? Protecting the children. There was no protection on the children that were born, right? And if you were the firstborn, you were dead. The god of Min was the god of reproduction. Well, that god, you know, basically we learned about this last week and all the way through this week too. All the gods of the Egyptians were called out. They aren't gods, right? They can consider them gods, but there is a higher god, right, that was over everything. So we learned about that. And basically we see that, yeah, these gods were powerless in the front, in the front of the Almighty, right? He was nothing. This lesson really shows us that our actions and our decisions bring consequences. And if we make the wrong decisions, those consequences fall on us and it falls on others. Just think about that when you're making your decisions, right? Who is it going to affect? Is it going to affect me? Is it going to affect others? The Passover is such a wonderful celebration that was celebrated, and how God prepared his people and got his people ready and going. They were celebrating before they even left. Right, God was giving them instructions on worship in a harsh time, rather than getting them ready to leave. God still wants us to do that today, to focus on him, to worship him, and he's going to guide. We don't have to worry about all the details. Let's let God worry about that. We would love to have you for next week's lesson. Next week's lesson is lesson number 6, Through the Red Sea. That is going to be amazing. So please join us again next week at Central Study Hour here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you so much for joining us. It is an honor. If you would like a free CD or DVD of this lesson for yourself or somebody else, call us at 916-457-6511. Email us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us the offer C202531 and give us your information, and we'd love to send that over to you. Thank you so much for being with us at Central Study Hour today.